Day 3.
"The wind just stopped blowing, that's all," said Stacy. "Now stop fooling around and come on."
I jumped up to follow Stacy and then cried,
"Stacy, look!"
On a black oak a few yards away was a huge white X.
"How did that get there?"
I exclaimed, running up to the tree.
"There's another one,"
little man screamed.
"I see one too," shouted Christopher John.
Stacy said nothing as Christopher John, little man, and I ran wildly through the forest, counting the ghost-like marks.
"Stacy, they're on practically all of them,"
I said when he called us back.
"Why?"
Stacy studied the trees and then suddenly pushed us down.
"My clothes," little man wailed indignantly.
"Hush, man, stay down," Stacy warned. "Somebody's coming."
Two white men emerged. We looked at each other. We knew to be silent.
"You mark all them down there?" one of the men asked.
"Not the younger ones, Mr. Anderson."
"We might need them too," said Mr. Anderson,
counting the X's.
"But don't worry about marking them now, Tom. We'll get them later. Also, them trees up past the pond toward the house."
"The old woman agreed to you cutting down those trees?"
"I ain't been down there yet," Mr. Anderson said.
"Mr. Anderson," Tom hesitated a moment, looked up at the silent trees, and then back at Mr. Anderson.
"Maybe you should go easy with them," he cautioned. "You know that David can be as mean as an old jackass when he want to be."
"He's talking about Papa," I whispered.
"Shh!"
Stacy hissed. Mr. Anderson looked uneasy.
"Now what's that got to do with anything?"
"Well, he just don't take much to any dealings with white folks." Again, Tom looked up at the trees. "He ain't afraid like some." Mr. Anderson laughed weakly.
"Oh, don't worry about that, Tom. The land belongs to his mama. He don't have no say-so in it. Besides, I guess I ought to know how to handle David Logan. After all, there are ways.
Now you get on back to my place and get some boys and start chopping down these trees," Mr. Anderson said.
"I'll go talk to the old woman."
He looked up at the sky.
"We can almost get a full day's work if we hurry."
Mr. Anderson turned to walk away, but Tom stopped him.
"Mr. Anderson, you really going to chop all the trees?"
"If I need to. These folks ain't got no call for 'em. I do. I got me a good contract for these trees, and I aim to fulfill it."
Tom watched Mr. Anderson walk away, and then, looking sorrowfully up at the trees, he shook his head and disappeared into the depths of the forest.
"What are we going to do, Stacy?"
I asked anxiously.
"They can't just cut down our trees, can they?"
"I don't know. Papa's gone,"
Stacy muttered to himself, trying to decide what we should do next.
"Boy, if Papa was here, them old white men wouldn't be messing with our trees,"
little man declared.
"Yeah,"
Christopher John agreed.
"Just let Papa get hold of them, and he gonna turn them every way but loose."
"Christopher John, man," Stacy said finally, "go get the cows and take them home."
"But we just brought them down here,"
little man protested. "And we got to pick old berries for dinner," said Christopher John mournfully. "No time for that now. Hurry up and stay clear of them white men. Cassie, you come with me." We ran, brown legs and feet flying high through the still forest. By the time Stacy and I arrived at the house, Mr. Anderson's car was already parked in the dusty drive. Mr. Anderson himself was seated comfortably in Papa's rocker on the front porch. Big Ma was seated too. But Mama was standing. Stacy and I eased quietly to the side of the porch, unnoticed.
$65. That's an awful lot of money in these hard times, Aunt Caroline," Mr. Anderson was saying to Big Ma.
I could see Mama's thin face harden.
"You know," Mr. Anderson said, rocking familiarly in Papa's chair, "that's more than David can send home in 2 months.
"We do quite well with what David sends home," Mama said coldly. Mr. Anderson stopped rocking.
"I suggest you encourage Aunt Caroline to sell them trees, Mary.
You know, David might not always be able to work so good. He could possibly have an accident. Big Ma's soft brown eyes clouded over with fear as she looked first at Mr. Anderson, then at Mama. But Mama clenched her fists and said, "In Mississippi, black men do not have accidents."
"Hush, child, hush," Big Mama said hurriedly.
"How many trees for the $65, Mr. Anderson?" "Enough till I figure I got my $65 worth." "And how many would that be?" Mama persisted. Mr. Anderson looked haughtily at Mama. "I said I'd be the judge of that, Mary."
"I think not," Mama said.
Mr. Anderson stared at Mama, and Mama stared back at him. I knew Mr. Anderson didn't like that, but Mama did it anyway. Mr. Anderson soon grew uneasy under that piercing gaze, and when his eyes swiftly shifted from Mama to Big Ma, his face was beet red. End Day 3.